Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. I thank the Lord for allowing us to meet again on another Sunday morning. Another day that we have set aside to worship and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm grateful that you have elected to be able to do this or to do some of your praise and worshiping with me, allowing me to be a part of your worship experience today. And I thank the Lord for that. Before we go any further, let us offer a word of prayer, one for some of those in our in the household of faith, I'll say, that are struggling. Some are grieving, some are bereaved, some have health issues. Some have some issues with people close to them. Could be, their child or their parent or relative, and this is also hindering their worship experience. For how can you fully worship in your mind is thinking about someone who's in the hospital, someone who's going through a terrible ailment and treatments and things of that nature. So we're praying God's peace as well as healing for a lot of our sisters and brothers in the Lord. We know that the Lord is our comforter, and we're praying for Him to do just that for so many today. They need comfort in so many areas and for so many different things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, Lord, with our not a heavy heart, Lord, but with concerns. There's so much going on now. The weather is cold, and there's some who have no heat. They're struggling even to just survive in this weather. Some have no home of their own. They're scrounging, trying to find a place where they can come in from the elements. And there's so many, Heavenly Father, and our heart goes out to them. We're praying, Lord, that you would move. That you would move, Lord, in behalf of all of those who are going through this morning. But like I said, for various different reasons. But most of all, Lord, we're praying that your word will go forth today. Not because of me. No, Lord, even in spite of me, despite my ego or pride or vanity. But Lord, praying that your word will go forth, that it may do that which that it needs to do for those who hear it. But Lord, we're praying that you would direct these words as they go through these airwaves, that they would go forth, not with confusion as Satan would love to have them go forth, but go forth, Heavenly Father, with power, with illumination, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, with whatever the hearer needs for them from the word. Let it be food for their souls and edification in their Christian living. Again, I pray that you allow me to be an instrument used in your hand, just to give forth your word, Heavenly Father, that you're pleased, that you be pleased. But then I know, Lord, that it will go forth and bring forth fruit, even that leads to repentance. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and pray that you would hear this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, today I'm going to be coming to you from three particular places in the scripture. Proverbs, the 28th chapter, the 13th verse, James, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, and 1 John, the 1st chapter, the 8th and 9th verses. Know that y'all are praying for me. I don't know why my voice stays so raspy, and all. Maybe it's because of the early part of the day, even though I've been up over 5 hours now, but we'll see. Proverbs 28th chapter in the 13th verse. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. It's James, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And 1 John, the 1st chapter, the 8th through the 9th verses. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We have read from Proverbs, the 28th chapter, the 13th verse, James, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, and 1 John, the 1st chapter, the 8th through the 9th verses in the New International Version. We pray God's blessing again upon the hearing and reading of his word. Ever since Adam sinned, man often attempts to conceal his sins. You know that? I mean, as if we can hide anything from God. But he not only thinks that he can hide it from God, of course he goes through great lengths to try to hide it from other people and organizations, if he's in, if it's some that type of sin or whatever it may be. But bottom line, he tries to conceal it, tries to hide it. Now, sometimes, I will say this, sometimes man might be in denial about his sin. And do you know you can be in so much denial in your sin that you try to hide it from yourself? People try to hide their sin from themselves. And they do this in, again, in creative ways. I mean, listen, you talk yourself out of it. You rationalize. You know, we talked about that before. You rationalize your sin. You do things that say, well, if so and so and did it, and you know, like that okays it. Well, these people do this, like that okays it. You've been in such denial. Oh, it ain't that bad. Lord knows my heart. I know that I shouldn't do this, but come on, we do all of these type of things. This problem, a lot of you are saying, yeah, I know people in the world, they do all these crazy things, but I'm not just talking about folks in the world. I'm talking believers as well. Oh yeah. Believers also try to conceal, and be in denial with their sin. Oh yes. Oh yes. And this problem exists, yes, with believers as well as unbelievers. Don't panic. The Bible has something to say to both groups concerning this problem. So don't fret. Okay. Now, listen, there's a number of people in the Bible. A number of people in the Bible who we could reference that suffered with this problem, with this sin, denial, and concealing. And refusing even to confess their sin problem. I'm just going to deal with two folks, well, three really. And I'm not going to go into great length because y'all know who they are. In the Old Testament, of course, there's David. We know that what David did after he sinned with Bathsheba, he went on to try to conceal it, tried to hide it, tried to cover it up, tried to fool folks into thinking it was her husband because he went on and got the woman pregnant, so they tried to make it seem like it was her husband who did it, and it was just a mess. Just a mess. And also, there, of course, in the New Testament, in the fifth chapter of Acts, we see Ananias and his wife Sapphira. Now, nobody held a gun to them, a knife to them, a spear to them, and says, "You've got to pay this amount of money. You have to put this amount of money in your offering plate in the church." But when they said, "I'm going to pay this amount of tithe, or I'm going to give this amount of money to the church," but instead they gave a different amount, put some in their own pocket, and went on like everything was everything. That's where they messed up. You know, God doesn't require us to make a whole lot of these promises that we want to make to him. But if you do make them, he expects you to keep. Not doing that is the same as lying to him. You may not ask me, say, "Are you going to give me a present?" If I say to you, "I'm going to give you something for a gift or a present," you didn't ask me for it, but now you expect to receive it because I told you I was going to give it to you. Now, I want you to think about that as we look a little bit into these passages that we read a few months ago. And today, I know it's early for me, but I am going to give you our subject for today because it's a very simple subject. And our subject for today is simply own it. Own. Own. Own it. Y'all know that. That's a maybe it's not as popular as it once was, but a very popular saying amongst folks today. You do something, don't sit there and deny you did it, or just own it. You did it, say you did it. You stole this thing. Don't be going to, you spend more time trying to cover it up and trying to make people believe you didn't than just owning it. Just confessing. Yeah, I did it. Hey, somebody, up there looking at the cake. Nice old powdered bundt cake. Somebody done took a bite out of it. Did you do it? No, I ain't do it. You try to go through it and convince people you didn't do it, yet you got powder all around your face and everything. Own it. You did it. Yeah, own it. Let's look a little bit at Proverbs, the 28th chapter, 13th verse. Remember, we just read this. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Now, this verse may carry a different meaning to unbelievers than it does to believers, but it applies to both. Don't fool yourself, because we do know that a lot of the scripture, maybe even most of the scripture, is written to believers. Y'all know that. But it doesn't mean it's not good medicine for everybody. Some people say, "Well, yeah, well, what's a medicine? The one could be a poison to somebody else." Well, let's see. Let's look. Now, the unbeliever can take this verse to mean that if you continue in your sinful ways and try to keep these sins or that sin or these sins a secret, the things that you do, whatever, it could be your job, it could be what you do in your life, whatever your livelihood is, or what you do every day, it's not going to work out well for you. Why would you say that? Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. Don't think now. Because people say, "Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. I happen to know that they got a fine car. They got a decent house. They always wearing nice clothes. And every time I see them, they got a nice little piece of money on them." So it looks to me like they're prospering. Now, let me ask you a question. Scripture said, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. Now, four seasons, remember, things happen in time, for length of time. Okay. In the day, it was commonly said, things don't last for a season. So yes, things may be going, appear to be going good for that person for a while. And it may seem like a good while. And I'm not going to take this all the way to the end because you know where we can go with this. Eventually, if you continue to live a life of sin, you continue a life continuing in whatever this sin is you're practicing, we know that eventually it's not going to end well for you. Because we also know that our Bible tells us that a Christian doesn't practice sin. So if you're the person that's practicing sin, if you're the person who this is what you do, you need to ask yourself a question. You may have been telling people that you're a Christian, but according to the word, it doesn't add up. If you are living that type of life, doing that which the Lord said don't do, not doing the things that he said for us to do, where's the proof that you're even a Christian? You say so? Because you say you are? Because people say that you are, what does the word of God say about you? And not only that, he says, okay, not only are you not going to prosper, but let me tell you something. The person who does confess their sin, the person who does own up to what they're doing wrong, the person who does own up to doing what God said don't do or not doing what God says to do, and then apologize. Say that they're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. Say, I shouldn't have done it. I know I shouldn't have. I won't do it again. But from their heart, meaning this, they will find mercy. Now, mercy, you say, well, wow. That means God's going to just erase it. Well, he might erase it. But the word here says mercy. You know why you need mercy? Because you still have to pay for the sin that you committed. All sin must be accounted for. You will and will have to atone for that which you've done wrong. You will be chastised for the wrongness that you've done. Oh Lord, you may say, okay, I'm just gonna get a few stripes, but you're gonna get some stripes. You may obtain mercy. That would be merciful. And you say, praise God. But let's look again. Because he tells us we jump from the Old Testament to the New Testament in James, where it says this. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Now, y'all, we just read this, right? And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, watch this. Now, watch this. Now, we believe that the writer is targeting believers here. Now, why would he say he's targeting believers? Because confessing that implies that the sinful person not only has to seek redemption for his sin, but he also needs to be cured of this sin. Now, watch this. Confess your sin. Now, we're not just talking about a lawful sin. Because you do know when you disobeying the law doing it, that's a sin also. We're not just talking about that because he says, confess this one to each other. Now, if I go and I break the speed limit and I'm speeding on the highway or even in the streets, no sense of me coming to you and telling me, I did 50 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone and all that stuff there. You're not the one I need, to forgive me. I disobeyed the law. And if those who enforce the law catch me, then I may be in need of mercy again because there's a punishment for that, which I've done. There's a punishment for that sin. But he says here, confess your sin to each other. Now, what this will do, depending on what this sin is, now, some of you say, well, I just did, even in the weak example I gave as far as breaking the speed law about speeding, we're not talking about this is one shot there. We're talking about somebody who does something. This is something that you do. Maybe I make a habit out of speeding and I'll keep on speeding until I get caught. Maybe that's my attitude. But he's saying, okay, confess this one to another. So we're not just talking about a natural law. And we're not just talking about people out in the world confessing to each other that you do this. Why? Because let's go a little bit further. Because he says, need to be healed, not cured. Healed. This is an ailment. Whatever this sin is you're doing, what's causing you to commit it is an ailment. Either the sin itself is, or what is causing you to commit it is an ailment. It's a sin, yes, but it's also an ailment. What is causing you to take something that don't belong to you? The doctors, the psychiatrists say that you are a kleptomaniac, that you just can't help but steal. Any opportunity you get, that's what you're going to do. You're going to steal. Why are you such a big liar? The doctors and psychiatrists and all say that you have Tourette's syndrome. Maybe that aids in your lying. Maybe it aids in your profane speech. So you may have an ailment, but you need to be cured of it. You need to be healed. So he goes on, even in this statement, number two, he says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Y'all know what it says in the King James, that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here he says, now this prayer, by confessing it one to each other, he's talking about the other believers. That's why we know he's talking to believers. Those who pray, those who are in communication, those who commune with the Lord. That's who you confess it to. You got an ailment. You got something that you can't handle, something that's a thorn in your flesh. My brother, let me, can we pray together? Can you pray for me? Can we go to the Lord about this condition? I'm not doing that. Those out in the world, not on purpose. So, that's what he's saying. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's why we come together. Brother, can you pray for me? I got something that's bothering me, that's on me. And yes, and we can pray. And our prayers, you're praying for me, with me, is effective before the Lord. So yes, this verse has a that type of meaning for a believer. For an unbeliever, they may take an attitude, hey, I did something wrong. I'm doing, yeah, I know I'm seeing another man's wife, and Or you maybe say, yeah, I know I'm seeing another woman's husband. This is what I've been doing. I've been rationalizing, trying to justify it in my mind and before certain other people that it's okay and yada, 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 yada. But no. That's something that I might want to go and tell my boy, man, I'm doing this here. And I know even in the eyes of the law, that is not right to mess around with another man's wife or another woman's husband. It's not right. But I confess that. That's what some of you are saying. And thirdly, now watch what he says here. Okay, in First John. Now watch this. If we claim to be without sin, now I'm going to take my time with this for a moment. If we claim to be without sin, now we claim it. I claim it. You claim it to be without sin. And so we go on and say, yeah, I don't bother nobody. Don't take what's not mine. I leave folks alone. And all that stuff. Well, let me make this clear. Okay. Just because you claim to be without sin doesn't mean that you are without sin. Well, it does tell me that you are in denial. Because there are many ways that we sin. We sin by things we do. We also sin by things we don't do. And guess what? We sin even by things that we see. How we respond to things that we see. So that person that's going around claiming they don't have any sin. I ain't got no sin. I don't do nothing. The word says, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in you. That's what it is. I didn't write it right there. The exact words that we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You said to yourself, oh man, I've been in denial. But it gets a little bit deeper. Then he goes on and says, listen, if we confess our sins, stop trying to hide it. Stop trying to conceal it. Own it. Stop trying, to hide it, put the thing where nobody can see it. Which is crazy. So he said, if we confess our sins, he, talking about the Lord now, talking about God now, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins. I'm confessing it because it pains me that I do this. It hurts me that I do this. I know I shouldn't be doing this, and I'm sorry. And I, Lord God, just please forgive me. Well, he says right here in the book, he says he'll forgive our sins and purify us. Not only we forgive me for the sin that I've been committing, but he would take me, clean me up, so that have me looking like this, but I've never sinned at all. This is what God does. Beloved, I'm sharing this with you, and I'm about finished. I want to make it clear. I want to make it clear. Okay. That in these passages of scripture that we just read, sins do not just apply to scriptural transgressions. I think I made that clear. Okay. In other words, sins don't just apply to those sins that a lot of people think only occur to those who are Christians. Well, if I wasn't a Christian, it wouldn't be a sin. Well, because I'm a Christian, it's a sin to other Christians. When you start looking at things like fornication, adultery, debauchery, lasciviousness, So this is what we need to understand. Sins are also the disobedience of the laws of the land. We gave a small example a little while ago. Yes, obeying the speed limit, paying your taxes. Okay, some of the local laws, as far as maybe even making too much noise during a certain hour of the day, and that this could go on and on and on. When you don't obey these laws, when you disobey these laws, which is two different things. Not obeying them simply means I'm not doing what it says. Disobeying them could be simply that not only am I not doing what it says, I'm doing something contrary to it. Okay. Now, those who are in denial, okay, for many reasons. I mean, you might fall in that group of what they call good people, the ones that don't bother nobody. You keep to yourself. You might go to church. You keep your property up. You're out there sweeping and moving trash from time to time, and things like that. If you're one of those type of people, you know who these people are. You might even, like I said, be one of those people. Good people. That's what we call them. They're good people. They don't bother nobody, keep to themselves. They go to church. They go to work. They come home and you hardly even see them. Well, some people say that they're good people. Okay. And like I said, you might even be one of those people. But I want you to know something. It is usually these good people are the ones who John is talking about, the ones who don't even think they have sins. Don't even think they have any sins. These are the ones, yes, who are in denial about their sin. And I'm talking about saints as well as sinners do this. Okay? And they do this for many reasons. Okay? Many reasons why they haven't taken the time to confess their sins. They're still spending their time trying to conceal their sin. That's what they do. These good people spend time trying to conceal their sin. And they have to understand that it's only by owning our sin can we be forgiven for them. And we can be cured and delivered to them. Now, I'm saying this and I'm done. So many people have found creative ways to conceal their sins. Now, David tried to conceal, and cover his up with deceit, disguise as favor. Oh man, I slept with this man's wife, and now she's telling me she's pregnant. Her husband's out there in the war, on the out there fighting. Let me give him a weekend pass. I know if he gets a weekend pass, he's gonna spend that time with his wife, and they're gonna be engaged. So let me do that. So yes, he calls Bathsheba's wife from the front lines, from the battle, to come on back home, where he was figuring, man, back home, he gonna get with his wife. But he didn't. Man came home and didn't do that. And the short version is God arranges so that this man could be put on the front row of the battle, right out there in front. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see what David did to cover his up. Ananias. I'm putting this money in the church. Let me put some here in my pocket. I said I know. I said I was gonna put this in, but let me put some of this in my pocket. All right, baby. Talking to some fryer, talking to his wife. I'm gonna put something for I can take you out to dinner later. Okay, we can go out. So he gonna put some away. And when he's confronted with this, don't you know that you're lying to God, to the Holy Spirit? These people are witnesses to your deceit, to your lying. Now, some of you say, well, maybe God didn't take it that bad. Once his deceit was exposed, right then and there, Ananias, gone, dead. Right then and there. So you have extreme examples of things that happen to those who want to conceal their sin, who want to let their sin go and let nobody be the wiser. They forget the scripture that says, be sure, be careful. I want you to understand this. Your sin will find you out. You don't have to tell on it, it will tell on you. Somewhere along the line, why do you think it's not going to work out well in your favor? You're not going to prosper. It's going to, because it's going to come to light. It's going to come out. And the repercussions of it can be very, very, very bad. The worst is you're not going to prosper. Not in your lies, not in your deceit. Not going to prosper. So, beloved, you got that sin that you think nobody knows about. Own it. Own it. Confess it to the Lord. If need be, you confess it to somebody else in the Lord. That together, maybe y'all could take it to the Lord and get it off of you. Lord, I don't want to keep doing this thing. I don't want to keep being disobedient to you. I want to be in such a shape, Lord, that you can use me anytime, anyhow, to do anything, anywhere. I can't be that way if I'm lying. If I'm doing what I want to do, I'm not going to be that prosperous. I'm not going to be that one that you can use. I'm not going to be that one who can say, Lord, here I am. Send me. You need something done. Here I am. You're going to say, no, I can't use you. You got hidden sin. I can't use you. You're in denial and think that you have no sin. I can't use you because you want to cover your sin up. God is saying to us, you need to own your sin. You unbeliever, you need to own it because I can't save you. I can't make you born again if you don't own up to your sin, if you don't admit that you are a sinner. I can't save you. And I want to save you. You can't save yourself. Own it. Stop walking around here rationalizing your sin. Own it. Stop going around here trying to justify your wrong. Own it. Stop going around telling people, well, I know I've done some wrong, but God knows my heart is for him. Own your wrong and ask God to forgive you. Confess it to him so that he can forgive you. Beloved, own it. That thing that's keeping you out of fellowship with God, own it. That thing that's keeping you from communing with God, own it. That thing that's keeping you from walking hand in hand with God, own it. That thing that's keeping you from having the joy of your salvation, own it, confess it, and repent from it. And watch God do what he needs to do in your life. God bless you. God bless you. Some of you saying, you saying, preacher, but I don't know if the Lord is going to do this for me. What are you saying you don't know he's going to do? I got things that I'm not proud of that I do. When it's all said and done, I want to be able to go home with the Lord. What must I do to be saved? The Lord is asking us that right now. He's asking you that right now as you're saying to the Lord, I want to be saved. I need to be saved. You said I can't even see the kingdom of God unless I be born again. Lord, I need to be born again. God bless you. Heaven, smile upon you. Own it. Whatever it is that's making you stumble in your walk with the Lord, own it. Confess it. Stop concealing it. And only then can you be healed, can you be cured from it.